Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preach today, God, as my prayer always is and is now. Come now, Lord Jesus. Stand in my body. Think with my mind. Please, sir, speak with my mouth. Do it in such a way that when we will have left this place, these your people will know that they've heard a word from thee and not from me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Say amen again. And if you're kind enough, say it one more time. Amen. Now, if you're real nice, say it like you mean it. Amen. How we bless and praise the name of our God, who does not some things, but all things well. Whenever I'm out preaching, I often remark about one of the first lessons I learned when I arrived at seminary. Our instructor told us that if God is wrong about anything, who can you tell? And then he further stated that if God is wrong, we'll never know it. He said Harvard can't straighten him. Yale can't straighten him. So whatever God does, is well. Amen. Let me thank God, first of all, for this honored pastor who allows me to come and to stand in this place that God has committed to his trust. Often remind churches that every sermon at a church where the pastor is called belongs to him. Men's day, mission day, choir day, end day, out day, 4th of July, whatever, memorial, whatever kind of day it is, it belongs to the pastor. So I thank him for asking me to come and to share a few remarks. Once I met him, he was introduced to me by my friend. Last time I stood in this pulpit, it was to eulogize, and I see Sister January sitting here, my friend and my brother, Pastor Alfonso January. He introduced the pastor to me, he and Dr. E.E. Rogers. And I said, well, okay, he looks like a preacher. And so I'm the president of the Ministers Conference for the metropolitan area. I put my shoulder on the vice president and said, let's get Rogers to preach. And I said, well, sometime I have some good ideas. And I said, you got to watch these guys younger than me. He came in there and lit things up. And I told him as soon as he finished, the presidency is not open. He preached an excellent sermon, and we honor his wife that we've had the opportunity to meet, and we certainly thank God for both of them. And then I would be remiss if I didn't thank God for my friend and brother across the years, Dr. William H. Walker. Amen. I chair the Board of Trustees at the Bible College, and I've taught every preacher that came through this church. Taught them, taught Sister Walker. And one day Dr. Walker was walking around in the school, and Dr. Fallon asked him, he said, Walker, what are you doing walking around in here? He said, well, I've come out here to see what y'all talking about, all these preachers I got out here. And so we thank God for him, and we pray that they may live a long time, much past where they are now. And when we were in the back, and I mentioned that in a few months I will have been pastoring my one and only church for 40 years. And I thought I had said something great. Then Dr. Walker turned around and said, "Boy, I'm old enough to be your daddy." So we thank God. We thank God for them. And then to all of these good preachers, all of these good preachers who are sitting on the pulpit. Now, let me give you a definition quickly of a good preacher. A good preacher is a preacher who says amen when another preacher is preaching. Now, I may not look back at them, but now if a good preacher is a preacher who say amen when another preacher is preaching, if they sitting there with their legs crossed and not saying, then, well, you know. So we thank God for all of them. And then see one of the pastors from my church, and Pastor Rogers, saw him come in. Stand up, Pastor Emmanuel Jones. Now, here's the amazing thing. I'm preaching this morning at New Bethlehem Baptist Church, and a few weeks ago, I installed him at New Bethlehem Baptist Church. It's right over in Johns, Alabama, so we thank God for him. Then happy to have my wife here of, I think, 42 years, it'll be in a few weeks. I don't know. I've been married a long time. I don't know. Amen. She's sitting right here on the front. We thank God for her. And then my two critics sitting with her, those my grandbabies. They're my critics, and they're already ready to go. I hadn't even read a scripture yet, and they're ready to go. And my sermon will be thoroughly critiqued about words I used and how long I preached. I looked across the audience, and I was scanning, and I saw one of my friends. He's a member of this church, Reginald Carson. Stand up, Reginald. Reginald Carson and I have been friends, and we are friends now, since before the first grade. He and I, we were in the first grade together, second grade together, third grade together, fourth grade together, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. So that boy and I have been together all of our lives. And I'll tell y'all quickly, and I'll move on. The only time I never got in trouble at school, I didn't talk, but Reginald was a jokester, told jokes. And we were dying laughing, and he kept a straight face. Amen. So listen, I've got to preach. I saw Dr. Vernon Swift the other day, and I told him, I said, "Oh, man, I'm coming at the 11 o'clock hour, and I hear you're coming behind me, and we've been friends a long time." He said, "EO, don't preach at all." I said, "Well, man, I'm just glad to be coming ahead of this freight train that's coming in here this afternoon. So let me talk to you. I am accustomed." One of my cousins texted me and said she was coming. I don't know if she made it. Cheryl, stand up. That's one of my cousins there. Amen. Glad to see her. Amen. Our family hails from the northern end of the state, and I'm glad to see her. Let me talk to you for a few moments. Now, one of the ways to get me to hurry up is to talk to me. Because when you don't say anything, it makes me nervous. And when I get nervous, the longer I am. Say amen, everybody. But if you talk to me, I'll cut across the field before you know it. We thank God for the pastor in these 4 years that he has made it here at New Bethlehem Church. And I deal with a lot of preachers, and he's one of the guys I've come to admire. And he's just around the pastors in the conference. There are a lot of us, and he acts like he's been around all the time. And so I'm happy. I wanted to share a few remarks to him on this fourth appreciation day. I won't talk to him, but I'm going to let you all listen in on it. It is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20. And I only want to read, for subject sake, one verse. That's verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Now I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. It's going to be one or two words that will read differently from the King James Version, but not enough for us to fall out over. Verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 20. But if I say I would not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord use his word as you are seated to speak to our hearts. I want to talk with this pastor and the rest of us about, don't let your fire go out. Don't let your fire go out. Brother preachers, the book of Jeremiah is one of the most unique books in the Bible. It is unique because it contains in it some of the most unbelievable language you could ever read. You know, of course, Jeremiah is one of the four major prophets, which leads us to believe that Jeremiah had some amazing things to say. But it's in this chapter number 20 that Jeremiah really shakes me to my core. Because Jeremiah says some things that I never thought would have come out of the mouth of one of the major prophets. Jeremiah, whether you know it or not, is on an emotional roller coaster. One moment, he's on a high, and the next moment, he's on a low. And that's the life of a real preacher. Sometimes, Sister Rogers, he's on a high. I'm waiting on y'all to talk to me. And then other times, he's on a low. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah gets so close to the edge. Listen at what he says. You have to read it later. Dr. Walker, Jeremiah says that I wish that I had died in my mother's womb. He's on an emotional roller coaster. Now, it's interesting because the problem we have with Jeremiah is we know what he said in chapter 1. Jeremiah is called into the work of the Lord at a very young and tender age. And Jeremiah did not like it because people were staring at him when he would declare the word of the Lord. And here's the dialogue that Jeremiah begins to say to himself. Jeremiah says to himself, maybe God has not called me. But you do know whenever you talk to God, God will talk back to you. I wish I had a help in here. I said, you do know when you talk to God, God will talk back to you. God says, Jeremiah, what are you talking about? I called you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. Now, let's stick a pin right there, because a lot of y'all are going around here battling this abortion issue, and y'all are saying that life begins at conception. But that's unbiblical. Life doesn't begin at conception. Life begins in the mind of God. I'm looking for the right side to look at. Because before you got here, y'all ain't talking to me. Jeremiah was a prophet before he was ever born. As a matter of fact, God says to him, I molded you and I shaped you to be who I wanted you to be. That's why when foolish preachers won't come to the school, and they say, well, I don't want to come to school to become a preacher. Well, here's our response to that, Sister Walker. I tell them, you don't come here to become a preacher. You come here because you are a preacher. And all we try to do is sharpen your knife so when you can get up to preach, you can cut a little better. Help me, Lord Jesus. So Jeremiah says, God says to Jeremiah, before you got here, I called you. I made you a prophet. Roger, sometimes you got to remind yourself that you didn't become a preacher, you were already a preacher. And it was already, I heard it, and I have a lot of friends who were members of this church when Dr. Walker got ready to retire and being the president of the ministerial conference. I heard about everybody who wanted to candidate, but I need to tell y'all, before Dr. Walker retired, God had all, I wish I had somebody. God, you see, there are no accidents with God. There are only appointments. Y'all ain't praying with me. So the only thing that happened before Rogers got here, God equipped him so that when Dr. Walker retired, God orchestrated things so that Rogers could come here and preach. Y'all not hearing me here? And the folk would like him, and enough would like him to vote for him to become the pastor. I need to tell y'all, God is in charge of everything. And so now we're having to deal with this prophet who's on an emotional roller coaster. One part of him wants to quit, and the other side says, I got to run on and see where the end is going to be. I wish, preachers, I could be critical of Jeremiah. I wish I could be critical of him, but I am not, and Rogers is not, and Dr. Walker and others are not in a position to criticize him, because all of us have turned in our resignation before. And we have declared, I'm waiting on y'all over here, I've declared I'm not going back anymore, but if you just give me a moment, I'll tell you why preachers keep showing up. And so it's in chapter number 20 that claims our attention with this prophet, this major prophet who is wrestling with his calling. He says, I want to give it up, but something keep pulling on me. I don't want to go down there anymore, but something, and I pity any preacher who does not have that something. Because if you can fizzle out before the finish, you were flawed from the first. Y'all miss what I just said. And that ain't just for preachers, that go for members. If you can quit the Lord before the finish, you were flawed from the first. Jeremiah says, I want to quit, but there is something going on the inside of me. Can we work through it, y'all? He says there's something happening in me. And I like preachers, you know. I ain't too given to these fellas who stiff as a board when they preach. I like to hear preachers, and I've been at it a good little while, Rich, and I like to hear preachers preach who got something going on the inside, because if something going on the inside, it'll show up on the outside. He says it's in his bones. What's in his bones? He says it's like fire. Now, y'all, all of us got good sense. And you know, if you're burning, you got to do something. I wish I had somebody. And so I wanted to look at this idea of not allowing. Rogers, that's all I've come to do. I'm going to get out of here so y'all can eat dinner and come on back for the evening service and give the pastor a big offering. Talk to me, somebody. So let's walk through the text, if you will. Keep your Bibles open. Let's walk through the text, and let's see what was going on with Jeremiah. When I look in verses 7 and 8, I wanted to say a quick word about the initial dilemma he faced. The initial dilemma. Listen at Jeremiah. Look at how he's talking to God. He says, he's talking to God, "You have deceived me. And I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become," listen at him, "a laughing stock all the day." Y'all not praying with me. "Everyone mocks me." Now, this is what has happened to Jeremiah in chapter 20. Pastor Rogers, Jeremiah has been placed in jail. And Jeremiah's problem is he thought because of his close relationship with God, nothing bad should ever happen to him. And that's a whole lot of us. We have that theology because somebody has told us if you get close to God, nothing bad will ever happen in your life. But I need to tell y'all that's not the truth. Just because you're close to God, you don't get exempt from troubles, trials, and tribulations coming your way. Talk to me, y'all. Y'all want to know why the pastor is able to walk around? God has placed in all of us a unique balance. Here's what God has done for us. God has put burdens on my back. Are y'all hearing me? And I could fall on my back. But this is what God has done. God is so good, Rogers. God put blessings in my hand. Even though I have burdens on my back, I have blessings in my hand and I can walk around. Are y'all, the burdens don't put me on my back and the blessings don't make me fall on my, anybody in here know God has put a balance in your life? Help me, Lord Jesus. And Jeremiah's in the jail cell. And here's what happened. He felt deceived. He felt deceived. Roger, sometimes you're going to feel that God has deceived you. Man, being a pastor is so crazy. Man, folk will love you this Sunday. Then next Sunday you'll be like, "What'd I do to her? Y'all ain't talking to me." Enjoy the day, because somebody that's singing your praises today, by next year this time, they're going to be on the opposition. Did y'all go quiet on me? He said, "God, You have deceived me. And not only in verse 7 did he feel that God had deceived him, in verse number 8, he felt that God had despised him. Sometimes when trouble comes our way, we feel that God has left us by ourselves. But you better be careful when you walk around singing, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven have signed my name. Every once in a while, God will call you to the testing room. Are y'all hearing me here? Every once in a while, God will say, okay, E.O. Jackson, you've been going around with a braggadocious disposition, and you've been telling everybody I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied my every groan. Now I'm going to put you on the testing block, and I'm going to see. I'm going to let COVID sweep through the land. I'm going to see who really loves me. I'm going to see who really has. Y'all ain't talking to me. Who really has trust in me. Jeremiah faced a dilemma. And in this business sometime, you'll be confronted with the dilemma. That's not just for we preachers. I told y'all I was going to let y'all listen in. Sometimes you're going to find yourself faced with a dilemma. You love God, but the plumbing will act up. You love God, but the car will break down. You love God, but the body will break down. Are y'all hearing? I thought more of y'all would have said amen. Because some of us ain't wearing glasses trying to be cute. Some of us in here trying to see. See, some of y'all in here just being pretty. Your glass is fake, but there's some of us in here. These ain't no shucking and jiving glasses. These some glasses I got to have to see. I love the Lord, but I need my helpers. That's the dilemma he faced. Y'all got to help me get out of here now. But the second thing is in verse 9. The first is the initial dilemma he faced. But let me say a second word. That's the initial dilemma. But let me say a word about the inner dilemma he found, or the inner disturbance he found. That's what I want. The inner disturbance he found. He was disturbed on the inside. Something started happening to him. Look what he says. He said in verse number 9, but I will not say his name. Are y'all hearing me? I will not remember him. And I'm not going to even call his name. Are y'all hearing me? Then Jeremiah, Dr. Walker, he got bold. He said, not only I'm not going to say his name, they don't even have to worry about me. The church don't have to worry about me. The nation don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to speak his name anymore. Sometimes we preachers go crazy. Y'all hear me? Sister Rogers, that's why, see, Sister Jackson sometimes have to call me back to my right mind. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not going. You better get up. I ain't going down. I ain't studying them folk. I quit. You can't quit. You the pastor. Are y'all hearing me here? But something happened on the inside, and this ought to happen to every God-fearing person. I'm talking to every choir member who want to quit. I ain't been hearing y'all either. I'm talking to every preacher who want to quit. I'm talking to every deacon who want to quit. every usher, every member who want to quit what Jeremiah experienced needs to happen in all of us. He said, I want to quit, but here's what happened. He said, but. Everybody said, but. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, you've got to have a but moment. He says, I want to quit, but he says, and then in my heart, it becomes like fire burning. Jeremiah had two things going on. First of all, he had a battle in his heart. They hurt me. They hurt my feelings. I wanted to work. I wanted to join, but somebody didn't want me on the ministry. They'd never select me. I volunteered often, and they'd never look in my direction. Every time I turn around, got the same folk over the program. Every time I turn around, the same ones leading the song. Every time I turn around, the pastor letting the same one preach when he's not here. Every time I look around, the same deacon leading the prayer. Talk to me, somebody. And all of us have a battle in our heart. I am not going there anymore. They don't want me. They don't want to use me. I'm going to another church. But wait a minute. Before you leave out of here, let me talk to you. He had a battle in his heart. Are y'all praying with me? But not only when you look at him did he have a battle in his heart, Roger, he had something else. He had a burning in his heart. He said, I want, but, now listen to what he says. He said, but then in my heart it became a burning fire shut up in my bones. Help me, Lord Jesus. You know what New Bethlehem needs, what Greater New Antioch needs, where I serve? We need some burning bones. Talk to me, somebody. You know, when I look around our churches, you know, COVID took some out of us. Folk that used to praise the Lord and took their hands down. The amens are getting dry. The hallelujahs are disappearing. Are y'all hearing me? But I need to tell you, if God woke you up this morning, y'all not talking to me. I said, if God woke you up this morning, you may not be feeling 100%, but if you're able to take them old aching, squeaking bones and make your way into the Lord's house, you ought to say to yourself, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Man, you might better tell the person sitting next to you, you better look out. Are y'all hearing me? You know how my mom and them used to do. If you sitting next to somebody, and ladies, you got on a hat, you better tell her, not girl, if I shout, get my hat. Huh? Those of you who wear glasses, if you feel that thing coming on, go and ease your glasses to the person sitting next to you. They'll hold them for you. I said, God set me on fire. Everybody said, God set me on fire. God set me on fire. Whatever I do, let it be real. Whatever you do for Jesus, let it be real. When you sing, be real. When you shout, be real. When you serve, be real. When you preach, be real. When you sing, be real. Whatever I do for the Lord, let it be real. He had a disturbance. I got to quit now. He had a disturbance. Jeremiah, I feel you, man. I feel you. Sometimes I want to quit. But, well, if you come on to church, something happened, y'all. Man, if you come to church and tell the person sitting next to you, don't whisper to me, don't pass me no notes, don't hunch me, I'm here for worship. Don't try to talk to me. I don't want to see what she got on. I don't care what her hair looked like. I don't care that his tie don't match his suit. I don't care that his shoes ain't connected. I don't want to hear that. I have come in here this morning to worship and praise my God. Now, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I got to go back to my place. Rogers will be up here next Sunday. And I like preaching at my place. Are y'all hearing me? But when you come in here next Sunday, when you sit down, say, Lord, set me on fire. Are y'all hearing me? He said, and y'all, what y'all want to have is a pastor whose bones is on fire. Now, I don't know that much, Pastor John. I don't know that much. But here's what I do know. If his bones is on fire, somebody who had the ability, officer, to get on the inside had to set the fire. Because if the fire was started from the outside, Jeremiah would be saying, my skin is on fire. Y'all ain't talking to me. But he says, my bones is on fire. Now, I know somebody who's able to get on the inside and not kill you. Come here, Adam. Adam says, I needed a helpmeet. I was all by myself. And God put me to sleep. And God got on the inside of me and took out a rib. Y'all ain't talking to me. And when God got through with the operation, I looked to see that I have a scar. Adam said, I didn't even have a scar. Ain't nobody like God. He can operate on you and don't even leave a scar anywhere on your body. Adam ain't the only one. Some of you in here, the doctor said one thing, but God reached on the inside and God did a surgery and didn't leave a scar. I just wanted to come and tell Rogers to stay on fire. They say amen, stay on fire. Because I got some amens in another world. Are y'all hearing me? If y'all get quiet on me down here, I got an amen in another world. Are y'all hearing me? He said, my bones, I've got to quit now. I've got to quit because y'all will be saying, don't never bring that E.O. Jackson here. I know us. And my grandbabies, they be like, gee, daddy, let's go now. So there it is. Don't let your fire go out. There is a dilemma he faced. There's a disturbance that he found. But the last is in verse 10 on through 11 in the close of the chapter. There is a dilemma. Remember that now. That he faced. There's a disturbance that he found. But let me close this by saying a word about the decision that he formed. He was crazy. When the chapter opened, he talked about, I wish I had died in my mother's womb. And God sent him to jail to make him get some sense. Sometimes God will have to hurl a storm your way. Y'all ain't talking to me. You see, let me see. Anybody in here? See, at my church, I have some other members, Jones, so I have to sanitize what I say. Did y'all get what I just told y'all? I have some members when we sing, lift every voice and sing, they don't know why we stand up. They just, I love them and they, I ain't gonna let them leave. But I'm just trying to say, I know us. And with us, when we get blessed, we change. I ain't talking about them. Ain't nobody in here with us now. Are y'all hearing me? With us? Oh, Paul Mama, you be around here, sold me 20 cars. 20. I wish he'd give me some of my money back. And Reverend Walker, they'll be out there. We'd have been out there at the same time. They buying them by 20 Cadillacs. And we get in them Cadillacs. Look at me. Talk to me, somebody. I saw some Cadillacs out there when I pulled up. Look at me. We get a new suit of clothes. We change the way we walk. Huh? We get a new hairstyle. We change the way we act. Talk to me, somebody. But God know how to deal with us. And sometime God will wrap a storm around his hand and hurl it in your direction. And whereas you quit coming to church, God hurl a storm in your direction. God says she'll be back. You know why you'll come back? Because can't nobody help you out of a storm like the Lord. In verse 10, Jeremiah says, he made a decision. He says, I've heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Here's what they said, denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All of my friends, Jeremiah said, was watching for my fall. They said, perhaps he will be deceived so that he may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But look at that verse 11 and let's get out of here. In verse 11, he says, but, I told y'all, you got to watch that but the Lord, but the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Are y'all hearing me? You know, original sin over there. We grew up, Reginald, I'm going to talk about our neighborhood. It was tough where we grew up. I'm telling y'all, on the north side of Birmingham, it was bad over there. And sometimes, you know, them old jokers, they catch you in between school and home. And I couldn't stand it. They be patting on your pockets. Talk to me, somebody. Let me have that change. And you be just about to give in. And all of a sudden, I look up. Thank God for older brothers. I look up. Here come my old thug brothers. I wish I had somebody. And when I saw my old thug brother, don't y'all laugh at my brothers. My whole way of looking at things changed. Get your hands off me. Talk to me, somebody. Don't you touch me. You better leave me alone. Y'all know why I acted like that? I acted like that because I saw help on the way. Are y'all hearing me? So I got to get out of here. I need to tell Pastor Rogers, hang on in there. When it gets tough, when it gets rough, you don't have to worry because help is on the way. And I just got to ask y'all, is there anybody in here ever seen your way get dark and look like you were not going to make it, but yet you felt that help was on the way? And that's what I love about God. I'm done now, y'all. That's what I love about God. He may not come when you want him to come. Some of y'all done went quiet on me. But how many of you know God will show up right on time? And when God shows up, he knows how. My good friend Tim Woods says that when God shows up, he'll show out. Has anybody in here ever had God to show out for you? Won't he make everything all right? And I'm glad, Rogers, I've been on it a long time, and I've seen the lightning flashing, and I've heard the thunder roar, and I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But early in the morning, I heard the voice of Jesus bidding me still fight on, because he promised. Does anybody in here know that he promised never to leave us alone? He won't leave us alone. He'll show up. You know, I'm reminded of an old preacher who had gotten word from seminary, and they told him, says, son, your money has run out. Your church not sending anymore, and you're going to have to pack up and go home. And that boy went to his room. That old preacher said, well, I got to write my mother a letter, and I got to tell her I got to come home. He got in his room, and he started writing the letter, said, dear mama, I hate to tell you this, but my money has run out. And the dean said, I got to withdraw, and I got to come home. And while he was writing, he heard somebody singing a song, and he went back trying to write, and he said, who in the world is that singing a happy song at a time like this? He said, I'm burning, and I don't know which way to turn, but I hear somebody singing a happy song. And that old preacher said, well, I better look out the window. And he looked out the window, and he saw a hobo. He was rambling through the garbage, and that hobo was singing a happy song. And the closer the preacher got, he said, that sound like a song that my grandmother used to sing. Can I tell y'all what he was singing? I said, can I tell y'all what he's singing? That old hobo was singing, why should I be discouraged? Why should the troubles come? Why should my eyes be filled with tears when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. That hobo said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes. Anybody here? I don't know if y'all like this kind of stuff. Anybody here? His eyes is on the sparrow. His eyes is watching over me. Won't he watch over you? Won't he watch over you? Anybody here know he will? Ain't he all right? I tell him he's all right. Turn to somebody, tell him he's all right. I said, turn to somebody and tell him he's all right. Tell him like you mean he's all right. Oh, yeah!
Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. Thank God for Jesus, amen. Thank God for Dr. E.O. Jackson for that message today. God is so good, amen. God is good all the time. We thank him for that message. We thank God for that message today. Don't let the fire go out, amen. Amen, amen. I know that message. He said it's for the preachers, but it's for everybody. Amen. If you are here today, the doors of the church are open. If you don't know who Jesus is and the free pardon of your sin, I invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Right now is the time to give your life to him. Don't let your fire go out. Everybody have highs, everybody have lows, but ain't nobody can do anything about it but Jesus. Give your life to him while the blood's still running warm in your veins. God can do anything, but he just can't fail. If you don't know who Jesus is, give your life to him. We invite you today. I beg you, I implore you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Nobody else can save you but Jesus. We ask that you come. Come while the blood is still running warm in your veins today. Don't let your fire go out. Some of us, our fire have went out. We have stepped away and walked away from the Lord. If you heal and you went backslid, and you want to rededicate yourself to Christ, we ask that you come too. We ask that you come. If you're looking for a church home, we ask that you come. You come by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism. We ask that you come. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for him. Don't let your fire go out. Don't let your fire go out. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We ask that you come. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. The door's open. We beg you to come. If you don't know who Jesus is, give your life to Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for him. It's still open. God can reach way down, and he can pick you up. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, Jesus can do it. Thank God for him. Sunday morning, Sunday school time, we have a new orientation class that we teach four Sundays. Are you able to come? 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, all right, amen. We'd like you to come out, to teach you more about Jesus Christ and the things that we do here this in New Bethlehem, amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. What a word, what a preacher. Certainly we thank God for Dr. E.O. Jackson gracing us with the word of God. We are made the better after hearing such preaching as has taken place in our presence today. What a mind, what a ministry, what a man. Thank you again for coming and sharing with us. Listen, this is one of three services. We have 2:30, and shared with the deacons and trustees a few minutes ago that I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. And even if your team is not playing, you're a Super Bowl fanatic. But I ask that you come back to the 2:30 service. We have Dr. Vernon Swift, Elizabeth Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
coming to be our guest. He's another great voice and a great preacher. We're going over to the Life Center, and we will fellowship together, eat together. So I hope that you are going over in between the services. Looking for you to come back at 2:30 and pray for us at 6, because I know the Super Bowl coming on, and it's going to be hard to get you to come back at 6. Y'all say amen. Y'all say pastor telling the truth. Amen. So come back at 2:30, and then we'll be over at the Greenleaf location for our Matthew 25 ministry. That we're going to feed the hungry and feed the homeless and preach and clothe them at 6. So I'll be preaching at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to it. But come back at 2:30 and be a part of the second service. All right? All hearts and minds clear? All right. Dr. E.O. Jackson is coming back to grace us with benediction.
Blessings again. Thank you, Pastor Rogers. Thank all of you for your kindnesses and courtesies since I've been here. Thank God for this worship experience. Don't let your fire go out. See a young lady born in my church. See her family, the Green and Marshall family. Her mother was dear and special, and good to see you, baby. I saw you sitting out there. Amen. See another preacher here. Thank God for them. Amen. Now listen, y'all, come back this evening. Don't let that Super Bowl. Who playing? Hey, Sister January, the Cowboys not playing.
The Cowboys ain't playing.
Now, we're going to go, Dr. Rogers, whenever I would come to Bessemer, I couldn't come to Bessemer without getting permission from Pastor Alfonso January, Dr. Walker. January said, who told you to come to Bessemer? But now, if the Cowboys was playing, I'm going to tell y'all that Alfonso January wouldn't be at church. He would say, the Lord will be there, but I'm not. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, New Bethlehem. The fellowship has been rich and great. Bow your heads with me. Gracious God, our Father, thank you now for this worship experience. Thank you for this pastor. Continue to bless him and his family as they endeavor to lead this, your church. Strengthen him. Keep his mind stable and his heart encouraged. Help his people to be not only laborers, but they will follow the leader and never become a looker. Be with us now as we depart from this place. Some are going to eat. Bless that food. Make it nourishment to and for their bodies. Bless Dr. Vernon Swift, my friend of the years, will be coming and standing here in just a short time. Energize him that he will lift your word again. Dismiss us from here, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in the peace of the Lord.